thank you for your attention. Again, I'm Dan Gibbons from the City Club, and it is awesome to have this room here representing the best of Chicago. Today marks our 14th event of the year, and every one of them, and I think this is historic, every one of them has been sold out with a wait list. It's telling me that we're getting the right speakers and we're touching on the right topics, and we're getting the right people in the room. So thank you for being here for further encouraging collaboration, civic engagement, and progress in our great city. As Valerie knows all too well, it's just as much about the people who show up for Chicago than the folks on the stage. This is who makes our city move forward. And we have an amazing group here today, so please allow me in giving you a sampling of who's in this incredible room. Starting with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Thank you, Madam President. Alderman David Moore is here. Mayor Rory Hoskins. Deputy Mayor Kenya Merritt is back. Judge Mike Cabanargi is here, as is Judge Tom Sienis. Commissioner Chris Brown from the libraries. Thank you, Chris. Commissioner Rachel Arfa, welcome back. Inspector General Deb Witzberg is here. Budget Director Annette Guzman. These are public servants who are doing so much day in and day out. And if I missed any elected officials especially, I'm sorry. You can just yell at me later. Speaking of, I think I missed a couple sponsors. MPEA, of course, is here, a sponsor, NHS Chicago. And I thought I mentioned win-win communications. But again, every bit of this is important to keep this institution moving. So thank you. UIC Chancellor Marilyn Miranda is here. Sports Commission, Cara Bachman, Phil Clement from World Business Chicago. Smita Shaw was just named Inc.'s Female Founders 500 today. Congratulations, Smita. Dr. Tom Shanley is here, the CEO of Lurie Children's Hospital. Suzette McKinney is here. It's familiar to so many of you. Walt Eckenhoff is here. All right, give me a second. You're going to notice there's a theme, and there's a few recurring themes here. There are very many women in leadership that we appreciate and want to acknowledge. There's diversity in every sense of the word. There is diversity in sectors, in age, in race, you name it. You're all here. And emerging leaders. We love showcasing emerging leaders. I told you about some of the products. There are so many folks here that you'll see on this stage in a matter of months, if not years, years if not months. Emerging leaders, none of this is by mistake. And as you all know, our dear, dear friend, and the recurring theme is so many of you are friends of Lori Healy, who was a board member here at City Club, who we lost almost a year ago. And she showed up for Chicago. And she mentored each of us and became friends with so many of us and taught us how to show up for Chicago. And we lost her all too soon. But this room is a representation of what the embodiment of Lori and what she did for our city. And so we very much appreciate it. Again, thank you for letting me take the time to acknowledge some folks that are here. I have a few more, but I wanted to point out some of those recurring themes and who is in this room. And thank Lori Healy for really bringing us all together and for helping deliver the OPC and our guest of honor today. A few more folks who you're all familiar with, Michelle Boone from the Poetry Foundation, Al Friedman, our landlord and mayor, Michael Fosnock, musician Zion Ali is here, Eric Smith from BMO and the Civic Committee. Speaking of the Civic Committee, Kelly Welch is here, two legendary leaders, Kelly Welch and Ellen Alberding. Thank you, too, for all that you do and have done for Chicago and for City Club in particular. While we're on legends, Linda Johnson Rice. Thank you, Linda, for all that you've done. Dorval Carter, a great longtime public servant, as it was Arnold Randall, now working in the civic community. Arnold, birthday girl extraordinaire and civic legend. 96 years old, Betty Lou Salzman is right here with us. Thank you, Betty Lou. Happy birthday. Scott Goodman is here. Mary Ellen Karen from After School Matters is here. Christina Rice from Global Girls. I could go on and on and on. Tawa Mitchell from MacArthur Foundation. Dee Robinson, good troublemaker. Dion Dawson and Danielle Parker changing food security, insecurity to security. Kimberly Bears, Nicole from the MagMile Association. Julia Stash, again, this Jamal Cole I see right here. My Block, My Hood, My City. Bret Hart from United. This is Chicago. You all are absolutely incredible, and you're why we all show up. Today, though, we kind of saved... Oh, real quick, not real quick. The OPC team. You all are amazing, and you have quite something coming up. But it's been really neat to work from on behalf of City Club, to work with you all, not just on today's program, but on really helping to envision what's going to happen on the South Side and what's going to happen in the whole civic community as the OPC takes shape. Your team's awesome, Valerie. You know that. But thank you. Mike Strapmanis is here. Josh Harris is here. We've got John Roberson, so many, Emily Bittner. Thank you all for your teamwork here. And I think you're going to hear that there's a lot more to come, a lot more collaboration between City Club and the OPC, not only leading into June, but far beyond. So much to talk about, so much craziness going on in the world. We're at war, but here we all are in Chicago doing our best, making good stuff happen. There's so much better and so much good to come. So thank you to that OPC team. I will save the very best for last. These two women I admire very deeply. They embody all that is good about Chicago. City Club board member and CEO of Navy Pier, Marilyn Gardner, who is going to lead our conversation today with our guest of honor. And I'd like to ask Marilyn to join the CEO of the Obama Foundation, who is leading the creation of the Obama Presidential Center. Sorry, I kept saying OPC. I assume you all knew what I meant. On the south side of Chicago. She's a wonderful public servant, a national leader. Chicago is so fortunate to have her as such a champion. Please welcome back to the City Club of Chicago, Valerie Jarrett. Joined, of course, by Marilyn Gardner. And if the steps are over here. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Good. That's nice.
Thank you, Valerie. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Be careful.
Perfect.
You're good.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will hand it to Marilyn, but I'm going to come back up, and I have a few questions. If you have any, we'll try to get to them in just a few minutes.
Wow.
Thank you too.
Wow, my goodness.
What
There's
a grill.
No place like home, you guys. Thank you for turning out today. It's so good to see you guys, everyone. Hey, Marilyn.
Valerie, thank you so much for joining me. I'm absolutely honored to have the opportunity to talk to you about all that you are doing to reimagine and enliven our lakefront and the entire South Side. So I think we have a video to show before we actually get started.
It's easy to look around right now and feel like the challenges we face are simply too big. But hope is not about ignoring the hard stuff. It is that thing inside us that insists something better awaits, if we're willing to work for it. Here on the South Side of Chicago, hope is getting a permanent home. Starting on June 19th, you can visit the Obama Presidential Center, a campus with a world-class museum, a new branch of the Chicago Public Library, sweeping green spaces filled with public art, yes, a basketball court, and more. This is a place where a child from next door or across the globe can sit behind the Resolute desk and imagine how they could help create a better world. All week long, We'll honor all the people who've been with us on this journey, from those who helped launch our campaign, served in my administrations, and helped build the center, to all of you who want to turn hope into action. This is not a monument to the past. It's a living destination for people who refuse to accept the status quo. If you feel that way, this is your invitation to join us. Sign up to be the first to know about updates, events, and tickets at Obama.org.
Valerie, in President Obama's words, hope is getting a permanent home. Hope has been a central theme with Reverend Jackson's recent passing and with President Obama's announcement over the weekend that the Obama Presidential Center will be opening on Juneteenth. Please tell us a little bit about that opening, but also about how you are bringing to life the concept that hope will now have a permanent home here in Chicago.
Will do. Well, again, good afternoon, everyone. And I am... Oh, good. Good. It's like in church. Good afternoon,
now
everyone.
They're warmed up.
So I am really thrilled to be here on behalf of my extraordinary team. And I am going to embarrass them by asking, because there are a lot of them here, I want them to stand. So after it's over, you'll know who to go up to and ask for questions. Come on. I see you all. Stand up. Get recognized. Thank you. Thank you, because it is a team effort. So as the president said, on Juneteenth, we're going to open to the public. You can go on Obama.org, sign up, and you'll get the information for when our tickets will be going on sale, probably in May. And we look forward to welcoming you all there as we open. We'll have a ceremony the day before, an opening ceremony with a lot of incredible music and talent, and showcase a bit about what we're going to be doing at the Obama Presidential Center. And then over that weekend, we're going to have, I would call it like Lollapalooza meets festival, and you know, face painting for the kids, playing on our playground, again, music, lots of food and entertainment, and a way of saying thank you to those of you in this room and so many people around the city who made the Obama Presidential Center possible. It was a big weekend last week, and not only did we celebrate the life of Reverend Jackson, and Mike Stramonis and I had a chance to attend his service on Saturday at Rainbow Push around the corner from where I grew up, but we also, in addition to announcing the opening, we had a terrific event at Home Court, which is the athletic center on the campus, and we were commemorating the completion of the screen text, which goes around the top west and south side of the Obama Presidential Center. I encourage you to go online. You can go online now and see what the full text is, but it came from the speech that President Obama gave at the 50th anniversary of the commemorating Bloody Sunday. And it's really, I think, his favorite speech, and he can give a good speech. He's been known to give a good speech.
Sure can.
But he loved the speech, and it is You Are America is the theme of it, and it begins everything from we the people to we shall overcome to yes, we can. And the last phrase is really, about this incredible, glorious task we all have of perfecting our union. And the reason why President Obama said in the video and believes in his heart that this is going to give hope a permanent home is because I think at a particularly time like this, people are feeling a little hopeless. And I've got a lot of around the room. And look, we tell this story at the center. We all stand on the shoulders of so many people who sacrificed so much for us to have the opportunities that we have. And they did not lose hope in spite of all of the adversity that they faced. So we don't have any choice but to pick up that baton. And part of what we do at the foundation is to help train the next generation. And that's what's so incredibly rewarding and gives me a heart full of hope, because there's so many talented people here in Chicago, around our country and the world. And our goal is to just give them the tools that they need to go forth and change the world. So it was a great weekend, but we are just getting started.
Just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
Love to hear it.
A lot to go.
So, Valerie, your vision, the Obama's vision for OPC is to inspire community change rather than create and operate an archive. Tell us what that means to bring this piece to life.
Yeah, well, as President Obama said in the video, this is really not just about looking backwards. It's about looking forward. Now, there will be an incredible museum. And when he was in town for Reverend Jackson's funeral, we took him on a tour through the center. And John Robinson, who you recognize, is responsible for the campus. So when you visit, if there's anything that doesn't go quite perfectly, talk to John. Call me. Call right
stand
there.
John.
John's the one. He's doing a magnificent job. Give a round of applause to John. I'm not sure the mayor has yet forgiven me for stealing him away, but we are certainly glad to have him on board. And so, yes, the museum begins with the story of the history and the people upon whose shoulders President Obama stands, like Mayor Harold Washington. He often says, if there hadn't been a Harold Washington, there might not have been Barack Obama. In fact, I'll tell you, the first time I met President Obama, and many of you have heard this story before, he just finished law school, and I was trying desperately to get Michelle Robinson to come and work with me in the mayor's office. And we had a great dinner in like 3 hours, and I'm trying to impress him because I really want her. And he really impressed me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, here's this young, talented man. And he's so committed to public service. And this is before, obviously, he hadn't run for office yet. And he didn't know what he wanted to do. But he said he was really interested in public service. And at the end of dinner, I thought, I bet you one day he could be mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
So he reminds me quite frequently that he did exceed my low expectations of him.
Precious.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so amazed, and I think anybody who's had the opportunity to tour OPC, it's astounding how much you are fitting into 19.3 acres. You mentioned the museum, a library, the Eleanor Roosevelt fruit and vegetable garden, play area, the wetlands. So much is going into it. Talk to us about how that will enliven the community and provide access to the community. You mentioned home court.
Yes, exactly. Example. Well, so weaving your former question that I didn't fully answer into your next question, is that our hope was not to just have this incredible museum that tells the story of his presidency and the people upon whose shoulders he and Michelle stand, but to invite the community in to help us design the campus. And Mike Strautmanis, Michael, gets a lot of credit for leading the community process. I'm sure everybody in this room has heard from Mike sometime over the last 8 to 10 years because he's had literally thousands of community meetings leading up to the design. And so we started with, well, yes, we need a museum. But President Obama says, well, what else might the community want? Well, they wanted a Chicago public library, Chris, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's a state-of-the-art library. It is magnificent. It's pretty much finished. They're putting in the furniture now, and we'll be putting in books later. But classrooms and tables and all kinds of ways for the children to interact, not just reading, but to get involved in a kind of a maker center. And he wanted to have an outdoor space. Park or the garden and the playground for the children is huge. And when we were standing at the top floor of the center last Friday looking down, President Obama was like, I didn't realize a playground was going to be so enormous. And, well, since I have grandchildren, of course, we want a big playground. And I'm sure many of you have children and grandchildren, too. Michelle Obama always tells a story growing up in flat Chicago and never being able to go sledding. And so now there's a sledding hill, and so it's going to be magnificent. Although I will mention my granddaughter broke her leg sledding, so be careful if you take your children out there. The Athletic Center, which is not just a basketball court, which, of course, the president had to have, but an opportunity for us to invite in young people from the community. And not only will they play sports, but they'll learn about health and they'll learn about teammanship and collegiality and the skills that they're going to need to be responsible adults. And we have donors in this room who are helping us craft the programming that we're going to have in that athletic center. And then there's just all this amazing outdoor space, and it's contiguous to Jackson Park. And we often say, when you look out, well, the views from the top of the museum building have never been seen before in Chicago, because it's in the middle of Jackson Park. and they are magnificent. And you see Jackson Park, the lagoon, the Museum of Science and Industry, the lakefront, views of downtown, south, the University of Chicago's campus pops from Michelle Obama's office. It looks right down the midway. And so the whole hope is that the community and the world will feel that this center belongs to them. So I often call it a gift to the South Side, an economic engine for the city, and a beacon of hope for the world.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And you touched on this. When I toured the center, I was absolutely struck and moved by the views. And like you said, it's something we've never had access to. We've never been able to truly experience. And what you're also doing to inspire the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry to reopen the South Portico that has been closed for decades.
That's exactly right.
It's really going to be just absolutely phenomenal.
Yes, and I think just went through the legislature was funding to help pay for the improvements between our campus and the museum. So we want people, just as they've enjoyed the museum campus downtown, which is spectacular, and now we're going to have a museum campus on the South Side.
It's really like the final gem in the crown,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
As your colleagues have said.
Well, you know what? We do love the South Side. And having grown up, and I used to ride my bike through Jackson Park as a kid, but let's face it, I saw a lot of resources going to the North Side and not so many going to the South Side. And so now we have this incredible economic engine that has created 5,000 jobs, a lot of them that went to Chicago residents, a lot of them that went to people from the south and the west side of the city. If you were to drive through the site in the height of construction, so many people have said to me they've never seen such diversity on a public project or any project for that matter before, and it is beautiful and spectacular.
Yes, it truly is. Truly is. So before we go deeper into transformational impact and the impact that the OPC is going to have on our city, we need to spend a few minutes here acknowledging and talking about our dear friend Lori Healy and the role that she played in bringing this incredible legacy that will be cherished for generations to come to life.
I will say, and I look at Marilyn, I'm trying not to look at Marilyn because we cry.
Every time we see each other,
we talk,
cry.
And Walt is here, and obviously Dan. So many of you, I know, feel as though Lori belonged to you. And, you know, I expected to grow old with Lori working at this campus together, and she took so much pride in this chapter of her life. But her legacy of her time here in Chicago touched everyone in this room in so many ways. She changed not only the physical landscape of the city, but the hearts that she touched. And she took this on as a labor of love. At this stage of her life, she didn't need to do this. And she decided to come on board and really help out because we needed her expertise desperately. And she was responsible, really, for helping bring what we see today to life. And she took so much pride in ensuring that we had diversity represented in our contracting. And she paid attention to every last detail. But also, and this is the part that I want to emphasize with people who are on her team who are here today, is that she always looked out for her team. And I know there are many people in this room who were a part of the many teams that she led over the years. And if Lori was your leader, she was with you through thick and thin. She looked out for you. She mentored you. She and I have worked together for 30 years, and I considered her a dear friend. I learned so much from her. And the heart that she brought to her job, coupled with this brilliant mind and discipline and no nonsense. I mean, Lori didn't take a lot of anything from anybody.
No, you nailed it.
But couldn't have been a more kind and gentle soul. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss her. When we were, Michael introduced me when we were at home court on Saturday, and I walked up on the stage, and as I looked around home court, which is spectacular, and even though it's on the ground floor, its views of Jackson Park are just tremendous. And I didn't even tell you this. I almost couldn't speak because all I could think about was Lori. And so she will stay with us forever.
Yes, she will, and generations to come will appreciate her legacy. And I was fortunate at the opening of Home Court, as you know, the president acknowledged and said, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for Lori. And I think when you said she wouldn't take anything from anyone. My understanding is that she really pushed to get home court open first.
She did.
As
she
a
did.
Community center.
Yes, she thought it was really important. Thank you, Marilyn, for bringing that up. And for being such a dear friend to Lori. But she wanted, we began with the athletic fields, which are just south of home court, which opened 5 years ago now, Michael, about 5 years ago. And the folks from kids from Hyde Park High School and surrounding communities use them. And she said, well, the next thing we should do is also at the tip southern end. And it's this athletic center. And it will be used by the folks in the surrounding community more than anyone else. And so symbolically, it was important to put our marker down and begin with the community, just as the community planning began in the heart of the community. The site location began with the community. And let's face it, our boss was a community organizer, right. So this should not be a surprise that that's where we began.
And there's that basketball tie, too.
Oh, my gosh, he loves basketball. Doesn't play anymore, but he sure does love to watch it.
So, as the first commissioner of planning and development for our city under Mayor Daley's administration, you know better than anyone what this type of investment in a community can do for its future. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so what makes a huge difference, and I always have to say my time working for the city of Chicago was tremendous. And I can't possibly acknowledge all the people I know in this room, but two of my bosses are here. David Naresky, who recruited me to join city government in the first place. I saw him walking down the street. I assume you're in the room somewhere, David and
He's
Linda.
Here. I saw him
See,
right
I told
here.
You, David Linda. And Linda.
Yeah.
And then Kelly Walsh was my boss, too, when he was corporation counsel and Mayor Daley came in. And I think I learned so many lessons in local government. So, for example, listening. And I left the private sector. I'd been at a big law firm. I kind of thought I knew a lot when I walked in the door, and I would go out to community meetings, and I'm from city government, and I'm here to help you. And thank goodness I had people like Tony Preckwinkle, who at the time was my alderman, who said, Valerie, don't start with that. Just listen. Just listen to what they have to say. And Tony and I had so many meetings just listening to what people had to say. And when you listen to people and what they want and what they believe, your job is to try to weave in their hopes and dreams with what is realistic given the resources that you have. And when you work with many of the redevelopment projects that we started out doing in North Kenwood and Oakland and then in Woodlawn and then all over the city when I was the commissioner of planning and development, you realize that what you really want to do is for the city to be the catalyst to jumpstart private investment and investments from the not-for-profit world and leverage resources. And so what we looked at, and those were really the listening lesson and the leveraging lesson, because the goal is to help a community fulfill its dreams and become self-sufficient and just use the public resources as a catalyst. And so what we look at is the resources that we are spending in this community are also intended to be the catalyst for development all over the community. And we start with the contracts that we let and the jobs that we provide. And we work very closely with Emerald South, which is a community-based organization that Mike helped start when he was early on in the foundation, with the goal of planning in the surrounding community so that our resources help leverage additional investment. And then the city comes in to ensure that you're not having so much development that it leads to gentrification and that you still have affordable housing and that people who lived in the community who want to stay get to stay there, but that you're helping to rebuild a healthy, vibrant community. And when we do that, we expect the schools to improve. We expect the parks to get better. We know the public library is coming in. All of the amenities that anybody who has a choice about where they want to live would want. And that's our vision, and that's a vision that we've heard in all those community meetings in Woodlawn and in Washington Park and South Shore and Hyde Park. People just want a healthy community, and so we want to do our part to ensure that happens.
And you're absolutely doing it. So thank you on behalf of our entire city. The president spoke in the video about attracting young people from, call it across the street and around the globe. And as president and CEO of Navy Pier, I can't tell you how enthused we are and so many others in this room about what we think the impact will have on bringing people to this incredible city that we all know and love. We know that over and over again, we're recognized as the best big city. But then we also hear the rhetoric that's quite contrary, that's often very, very negative. So as civic leaders and nonprofit business leaders in our community, this room is filled with people who are the strongest advocates for our city. What can we all be doing together to help support OPC, but also to continue to help capture and like grab back our narrative?
Well, it's a good, thank you for saying that. And I think the opening of the center gives us a chance to tell the story about Chicago. And it's a story that not everybody around the world knows because they do listen to the rhetoric. And so I remember when many of us in this room worked on the Democratic Convention in 1996. Oh, my gosh, last century. And Mayor Daley worked so hard to ensure that it was a successful convention, not because of the politics, but because it was a chance to reintroduce Chicago to the world. The same thing when we hosted the World Cup here. It's a right. chance to reintroduce Chicago. And so we look at our opening ceremonies and the attention. Look, we got a lot of press last week, and just by announcing the date, it wasn't right. even the opening right. yet, just the date got a lot of international and national press. And so we want to take advantage of that, work with all of you in this room to figure out how can we tell the story about Chicago and the many amenities that we have here, this being just the latest jewel. And I think that if we do that well, and we do that over and over again, and we are hoping to have 600,000 people come through our museum each year, many more visiting our campus, many of them from Chicago, but far many more coming from outside of the city. And if they have a great experience, not just on our campus, but downtown, in our restaurants, in our hotels, along our lakefront, along our other museums in the park, along all of our other amenities that we have in this city, then they'll go back home and begin to chip away at that narrative. And I think, look, there was a time when I grew up where they associated Chicago with the mafia. Well, you don't hear that anymore. That's kind of dead, thankfully. But we have to kind of restore and regenerate these stories that tell what a remarkable city it is. And in terms of helping the campus, go on Obama.org and make a contribution. That would be really nice. You could laugh if you want to. I'm completely serious. Our head of development is clapping very, very hard over there. I promised you I would get that in. But in addition to your financial resources, we really want to partner with you. You know, I talked to Chris about the public library. We want to make this the most spectacular public library in the world, not just in our system. And it's going to be state of the art. And so that wouldn't have happened if we did it alone. We had to have a partner. Then there are many of you who are going to be partners and have been partners with us. And so part of, I think, how we do this together, why this organization is so important, why working with you is so important. Yes. And look, we may compete for some conventions that come to town, but I hope that we're going to also leverage each other, because maybe they'll go to one activity at Navy Pier and one at McCormick Place, and then they'll come south. And so put it all together, and we're giving people in Chicago and who visit our city an extraordinary experience.
Josh and I actually talked about running water taxis between Navy Pier and OPC.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
And all along the lakefront.
I think that would be so wonderful.
Fabulous.
And the thing about Chicago and the people in this room is we can do all this stuff. I mean, we're the ones. If not us, who? If not right now, when? And when we do it and we do it well, I think other cities will try to do what we're doing. They won't have the Obama Presidential Center, but they'll have their own ways of showing, which is kind of one of our major themes, which is that ordinary people who work together and who love this country can do extraordinary things. And we've seen that all over. I just came back from Minneapolis. I had lunch with a couple who were spending their time. They're retired, and they are buying groceries for people who are afraid to come out of their homes and ensuring that children get shuttled back and forth from school. And I said, why do you do it? And they said, because we love our community and we love the people who are in it. And nobody can compete with Chicago for that big heart and those big shoulders. So
absolutely.
Let's show the world what we can do. Right?
Absolutely. Right? I see Dan giving us the eye. So before we take questions, on behalf of everyone in this room and our entire city, just truly, we are so grateful for all that you're doing to help us recapture the narrative and bring in this incredible space to life. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thanks for agreeing to do some questions.
Of course.
I know we have a tight timeline. I have some pre-submitted questions. I'm over here. Please let me know if you do have a question for Valerie and or Marilyn, and I can hand the mic over to you. In the meantime, I'm going to ask the first one here from Pete Bieldavecchio, and if you're here, raise your hand, please. If you're close, I'll let you ask it. But this one is he's from Special Olympics, Illinois. Is there any part of the Obama Center that speaks to people with intellectual disabilities or disabilities in general?
Yes, indeed, and we are very proud of this. We had an inclusion council that worked very closely with Mike and his team to ensure that throughout we focused on making this the most accessible facility in the country. It is state-of-the-art. And Friday when President Obama was touring, we were walking through one of the exhibits, and it's really designed for children. And Bo and Sonny, I'm probably not even supposed to be saying this yet because it's all hush-hush, but makes my point, that Bo and Sonny are telling the story, and it's all Braille, and it's at the level where anybody can reach it. And so sustainability is important to us, accessibility is important to us, and we will be, and I think we've already posted some of our accessibility qualities, which are online. People who know this best are nodding their heads, so I know I'm telling you the truth. And so I encourage you to go onto Obama.org, but we designed this, as I said, everyone should feel as though they belong. When we were designing the videos, we put people in wheelchairs to ensure that the videos were visible from at whatever height people might be sitting. We want to make sure that the way that we describe everything is in a way that people can feel a connection to it, which means they have to be able to understand it and they have to be able to feel it. So yes to that question. Good question.
I'm way in the back here. Marshall, if you could introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. My name is Marshall Callery. I manage a musical artist in the youth community named Zion Ali, who performs a lot of high schools, grade schools, nonprofits. And we're doing a lot of great work in the youth community. And I have a lot of other young people that are doing a lot of great work. But my question is, young people are often told to work hard and connect with mentors. But when they actually reach out, they sometimes experience gatekeeping or silence. What responsibility do leaders have to open doors for the next generation, and how can young people stay motivated when those doors stay closed?
Well, our job is to open those doors. Thank you for that question. It's such a good question. I'll give you just one example. We have a program called the Futures Program where we work with Hyde Park High School, and we bring in speakers to the high school to talk to them about their careers. And many of them are not just the traditional careers you might see on TV or read about, because we want to open their eyes to the infinite possibilities. And I always say, you know, talent is ubiquitous, opportunity is not. And if we aren't able to help our young people, then how can we expect them to achieve their dreams? We have a program called My Brother's Keeper and One Girl, the Girls Opportunity Alliance. My Brother's Keeper is designed to help the trajectory for boys and young men of color. And the Girls Opportunity Alliance is designed to help adolescent girls stay in school and reach their full potential. And Chris Carter, I know you're here. Put your hand up. Chris, see him to talk about My Brother's Keeper and the work that we're doing here in Chicago with our young people. And Tina Chin, where are you? I know you're here. Tina Chin, among her many responsibilities, is the Girls Opportunity Alliance. So, yes, and that's not something just that we have a responsibility to do at the foundation. Everyone in this room can be a mentor, can help support, and it doesn't take that much. It just takes, you know, looking into somebody's eyes and saying, you know, let me tell you about what you could do. And young people, one of the people who worked with us in the White House grew up very poor in New Jersey and was working for the chief of staff for the president of the United States. And I asked him, how did you get from there to here? And he said, children rise to the expectations that people who love them set for them. And he said, I had a mentor who told me there was nothing I couldn't do. So, and there are bazillions of examples just like that. So thank you for talking about our young people. That's what we do. I see you, Dan. Who you got?
Thank you. Right here in the middle. if you could introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, my name is Tammy McCann. I am the board chair of the African American Museum of Performing Arts that's going to be set in Bronzeville. We're so excited about all of the attention that the museum, the Presidential Center is bringing to the South Side. What are planned collaborations that you have for existing organizations and other organizations that are in arts and culture in partnerships?
Music to my ears. We should be marketing each other. We want people to not just come into our campus and leave. We want them to explore the South Side. We want our marketing materials to talk about all of the amenities on the South Side. We want to collaborate with you. We'd love to have performances on our campus with your young people and both vice versa. And so this is intended to be a collaboration. And so for sure, let's work together and figure out ways of supporting one another. Absolutely.
One right over here.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
My name is Joe Hall, and I am the owner of Pope Leo's childhood church and campus. And when I bought the campus, it was meant to be a workforce development piece for a lot of our training programs for people in the community in Chicago. But since the announcement, everybody has always asked me, now, what are you going to do at the campus? Because it's related to the Pope. And so I'm trying to balance between what our initial goal was, which was to make this a workforce education campus, versus what some people now have ideas what that campus should be since it's related to the Pope. So my question is, and I am not a fan of having meetings to have meetings, right? But I've got a bunch of calls about these meetings on what we should do with this campus. So my question to you is, how do you prioritize the meetings that you take for a huge project like what you guys have just gone through?
It's hard.
Not gonna lie.
It is very hard. It's why I have such a great team, because they take care of a lot of those meetings. And my idea is I should only have to do what only I can do. And the rest of it, I leave to them. And so, but if you're making a plan for your campus, the more people you listen to, the more ideas that come your way, I think the better. And that's what we did in the beginning. We spent a lot of time planning, so the execution was a lot easier. Well, we're talking about workforce. I should mention, one of the other things that we're doing is looking for ways of doing joint purchasing with other businesses in the community, because if we use our buying power and we help leverage their buying power and we all buy it together, things will be less expensive. And Emerald South is leading that effort.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you for that commitment,
I see Dan coming back. We're getting the hook.
And, we'd love to have you all day long. We'd love to have you keep
I think
doing
that. Emily, are we 100 days out?
Oh, how did I not say that?
100
Guess what?
Days
we out. We are 100 days out to our opening. Yeah. Thank you. I buried the lead. Thank you, Marilyn. I'm going to get kicked when I leave here for not saying that. That is the lead. 100 days out. And so, again, Dan's rushing because I am going to catch a plane, but I'll be back. But please, please, between now and the next 100 days, go on Obama.org, make your contribution, but also find out about all of the incredible things that we have planned. If you have suggestions, we're having what I think Tina's calling a parking lot, things that we may not be able to do on day one, but we might want a day on day two or three or four or 100 or 5,000. And so this is your campus. It belongs to you. It will be the campus for the world, but it really belongs to Chicago. And so help us make it as spectacular as we know it can be. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Valerie Jarrett. Thank you, Marilyn Gardner. Thank you all for being here today. Come back soon. We'll have great programs to come. Have a great week.